Let's follow up now on the wave of recent news about initial public offerings, IPOs of tech firms.
Huge investor demand has shares of LinkedIn soaring in its Wall Street debut.
Groupon filing today to really capitalize on the IPO craze. Zynga, the maker of all those games on Facebook, is said to be close to filing its IPO.
Okay, these companies all have something in common. They're all hot internet social media, meaning they specialize in connecting people. And now it seems a lot of investors want to connect with them. Or at least the companies putting themselves up for sale hope so. We're going to talk about this with Andy Kessler. He's a financial writer based in Silicon Valley. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I suppose we should remind people, since it's been a while since the last massive wave of IPOs, we're talking about privately owned companies that basically put themselves on the stock market for the first time. It's your big chance to get on the ground floor, or at least so we're told. How big is this wave of IPOs compared to what we've seen in the past?
Well, it's been a 10-year drought, so it's about time that companies that have been working hard all these years can come public again. And, you know, IPOs are capitalism's carrot, right? They're hung out in front of entrepreneurs as an incentive for them to, you know, work hard, pull all-nighters, chug Jolt Cola, and change the world. And, you know, the IPO is the event that finally puts a value on all that hard work. And for investors, it's a chance to catch a rising star.
How could this frenzy be starting again, given that so many IPOs in past years, a decade ago, turned out so badly?
Well, we're at a point where there's a lot of great companies that have been gestating for 10 years. I mean, LinkedIn is not an overnight success. It's been around for quite a while, and it's in the process of changing how companies hire workers. And the stock market provides access to capital for the next wave of great companies. And LinkedIn was one of the first ones to go out. And hopefully there's going to be another wave of great companies.
So how do investors know what's a fair price in this circumstance? Is it easier now to tell that because some of the companies have been around a few years and have a track record?
Yeah, well, that's what makes it so fun. There is no fair price. I mean, what most people don't know is that in an IPO process, the management of the company flies around the world meeting institutional investors, meeting with the Fidelity and Janus's and mutual funds and pension funds, et cetera, in a process of whipping up excitement for what they do. And then the underwriters, Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley, then goes and says, okay, how many shares can we sign you up for? And many of these companies say, I'll take as many as I can get. I'll take 10% of the deal. And so often these deals are, if they sell maybe 5 million shares, there'll be orders for 100 million shares. Or hundreds of millions of shares. And then the underwriters divvy it up in small portions, and companies have to buy more after the stock starts trading. So it's this funny auction where there's a limited supply and a lot of demand. It's not until a stock has been trading for weeks or months until the stock market will settle in on what the right price is for any company.
I want to ask who gains from this process. And here's what I mean by that. You have some private investors who are selling off companies or selling some shares, at least, in the companies that they've grown. Is that going to, in the end, help the companies or just help the old owners?
Yeah, it helps all the above. You know, the management of the company, the employees of the company, and certainly the venture capital investors of the company do well when the companies go public. They can't sell for 6 months, by the way. But the ones that do the best are the ones that get allocated shares in the deal that, you know, if it doubles in the first few minutes, you know, you do quite well. And then similarly, the underwriters, the Morgan Stanleys and Goldman Sachs of the world, they do quite well because they charge 7% fees to go public. So if you go public at $10 a share, that's 70 cents as a opposed to a penny a share of trading commission. So it's a very lucrative business for Wall Street to take companies public.
So when we talk about a craze or a frenzy or whatever name is being applied here in the business reports to the excitement of the moment, how, in your mind, does it compare to the excitement at its peak of the dot-com boom a decade ago or more?
Yeah, if the dot-com boom was a 10, we're at a 3.
You don't sound very excited.
No, it's the early stages of it. I think when you start getting companies that, you know, have no business plan and no business model and just, you know, social media in their name and go public, then we'll be at a 8, 9, or 10.
So maybe it's better for business to be a little bit lower on the scale is what you're saying.
In terms of the sustainability of the capital raising process, absolutely. You want to be in the rational phase rather than the irrational phase. And I think it is still rational.
Okay. All right. Avoid the exuberance, rational or otherwise.
Right.
We've been talking with Andy Kessler. He's a former hedge fund investor who now writes about financial markets, and his most recent book is called Eat People. Mr. Kessler, thanks very much.
Thank you.